Welcome, fans of The Expanse. Today we're talking about episode 3, Static. And what do you think is on the other end of that line to Eros? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's our epic music. Oh, we should have looked up what the song was from the club.
Oh, you mean, that was good. I really liked it.
But I'm like, how do you find that song? Because I was like, can I have that song? It's a good song.
We can just replay, you know, me going over and over and over.
Do old school, put on your tape recorder and record it. You can do it on your phone, guys. Anyways, welcome to the Expanse After Show. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And today we're talking about episode 3, Static. And I have my awesome co-host to my left.
Hey guys, I'm Maria Cavasuto. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasuto.
Ooh, I'm so sorry. There's the sound.
Carrie likes to watch herself while we're doing this.
No, it's very weird. I was going
to
tell you guys, if you're watching this live, please feel free to join us in the chat. If you're watching this later, comment down below. You know, keep the discussion going because we're fans just like you guys and we want to know what you think about the episode and your predictions. And if you're like me and have read the books or are reading them, please no spoilers because there are certain things that are so fun to see line up. And I'm just like, I want to, like, tell you things.
And I know. I'm somewhat envious. I really am.
I don't want to ask you leading questions either. I was like, so.
You know what? I feel like I'm aloof enough that I won't catch on.
No. Well, let's get right into three and episode three because it's a little weird because, you know, episode one was one and two,
right.
So it's three, but it's our second episode. And we had Cass last week, which was awesome, so we'll hopefully have more Cass later, so make sure to stay tuned for those. That was fun.
It was so much fun, and you know, some of the conversations that we had with him last week about kind of the background and emotionality of Alex Kamal really, I feel like, popped in this episode,
yes.
So we'll touch on that, but I really, absolutely. I'm digging it. I'm digging where that's going.
When it first opened up, I was like, the effects. Oh my gosh, it was just... This is such a good looking show.
It really is.
It's amazing. Like, we had someone while we have it on a TV and we're watching it at the studio here, and they were like, what is the budget? It's so good.
Yeah, the production value is so high end, and it's always very, very, very impressive because it does feel kind of like a movie. And I think that's what Jeff had said. He's like, it kind of looks like a movie, and I'm like,
yes,
yeah, totally.
Looks so good. So at the very beginning, we have the kind of led from the last episode, the Earth is destroyed. Deimos, I think it said it right.
Yeah. Deimos.
Which is like a moon for Mars, and because Earth did the rockets at not the ship, but the
because I missed.
Yeah,
it.
But then we get to see Bobby again. She's like, "We're ready for war."
Yeah, she's tough. I really like her, but I also think that a little bit of kind of her soft side comes out further on in the episode.
Yes,
so I like that too. But she is tough as nails. She's like, at one point, I think she says, "Like, why can't we just knock them out? Like, why, you know, let's get rid of them. We're done here." And it's I feel like also a little bit of like her youth playing into it. I love the character development with Bobby specifically. I think it's got a lot of facets. It's really interesting.
Well, she makes the point too. She's like, we've been training for this our whole lives.
100%. Yeah. And so why not go at it?
Yes. And they, which I think we talked about last week too, that the Martians are training at 1G gravity so that they could go on Earth and do some damage as well. Yeah. And it's interesting to think of Mars as a navy too.
Yeah.
They talked about it is it's like an island and like you're in outer space. So if Earthlings went in outer space, they'd be like the same idea. So it's funny that like...
Yeah, they're very, I mean, it really does paint them in a certain light when you think of them as a Navy, it's like, you know, very structured, high end, very military, very like organized. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, just kind of like one and done kind of, you know, very, very, very confident and direct.
And then the other thing that's, so the kind of came up with the, Bobby's, I was like, I wrote his name down later. But the Earthling, or the Earth guy who's Martian now. But it's interesting. What do you think of it, how all these characters, they may be from Earth, Mars, or Belt, and they're not actually very visibly different. That's almost like saying someone from, like, New York, California, and Texas were all together. It's like, okay, guys, you really aren't that different. But,
well,
I mean, it makes a difference.
Specifically for, like, the production, I feel like it would be a whole other animal to tackle if you really had to, like, make everybody very different. I mean, physically. But are you talking about mostly... like,
well, I think it's interesting that it's such a superficial hatred because in the book they're not described super different. I mean, it is a little bit like Earthers are maybe quote unquote stockier, just by gravity, but it's not like you have an 8 foot tall person and a 5 foot tall person. They're not that big of a difference, but it's, but I mean, maybe it's an interesting reflection on our world right now too, of like, people don't look that different from you, but it's like, oh, you're not from here, you're different.
I think the only person who truly stands out is Bobby, because she's kind of like, you know, I guess like, you know, taller,
and
she's
Amazon.
she's very commanding. Yes. So yeah, I agree with you, but it's so funny how it's like this superficial thing. I think they need to put it aside, which is totally what they do in this episode a little bit, and just kind of come together. I feel like one of the themes of this episode was definitely kind of like unity and like coming together and just like, you know, that no other problems kind of thing. I really enjoyed the unity theme here.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Because, I mean, our last episode or two was, like, our little team on the ship, Rosinante coming together, or they've been together, but, you know, they're bonding.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat made a good point. I think if I said it wrong, I'm sorry, Laud. Mars is kind of fascist culturally, and resources were diverted for the Navy, so they kind of feel useless living just to train, because everyone else is slaving in the common goal of terraforming. So, like, but that makes sense. Like, their purpose is to be military, and if they can't do their job, it's like,
you do feel useless.
What's the point?
That makes sense.
Yes.
That's perfectly makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Then we jump over to Avasarala, and I'm listening to it as a book on tape, and they say her name differently.
How do they say her name?
Avasarala.
Avasarala. All right.
And I say Avasarala, and I thought that's how they say it, kind of in the show.
I feel like that's how they say it in the show.
And so it's so funny to keep hearing them say it, and you're like, it's just different enough. And you're like, wait a minute.
You're like, hold up. Yeah. Not sounding good to my ears. It's just so funny. Something like, it's like Hermione from Harry Potter. I used to call it something completely different. I won't, you know, venture in there, but it's one of those. Animorphs,
Tobias, and Tobias.
Yeah. There you go.
Throwback. But Avasarala, we have her, and it's interesting how she is kind of playing her cards there, where she was wanting Earth to be more careful because of Mars and, like, not wanting to escalate it. And I love her wardrobe.
She does. Pretty. It's all very colorful, very gorgeous, elaborate, ornate. Yes. All those other fun words that we could use to describe it. But, you know, I love the fact that she's actually trying to take care of Earth and not escalate the situation. Mm-hmm. Because the way that it looks to me is that Mars could have literally maybe just obliterate Earth. And it's like, that's not worth it. Like, why don't we find a common ground? And I think, obviously, that's the reason she chooses to kind of, like, you know, talk to Fred Johnson and all that stuff. Because things are getting kind of, like, out of hand.
Yeah.
So I'm on board with her. She's just great.
Oh, yeah. No, she's so smart. And I love the swearing. She swears just that much or more in the book.
I know. You know, it's so
love
funny.
Love it.
Carrie brought it up, I think, last time when we were talking. She's like, she just swears, like, all over the place. And I really noticed it in this episode. Because, like, what the? It just always...
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Well, it's also great Sci-Fi Channel for doing this, because they do it on The Magicians as well, where they keep the swearing in, but on TV they just kind of bleep the word out instead of giving them a lesser intense kind of word.
Right, like, what the frick?
Yeah, and you're like, no. I mean, Battlestar Galactica, which we liked their tribute to Mr. Hatch, and so that was sad. But they made up a word, but that's okay. They made up a whole vocabulary in a way for swear words. But I like that they're swearing, and I don't know. I like that she's an older woman who swears.
Yeah.
Love it.
She's a no BS type of lady, I think.
And then we jump over to Tycho Station with the repairs on the ship. Oh, poor Rosie.
I know. She looks like a strainer. Was it a strainer?
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
You know, yeah.
All the holes in it. And then we get inside Tycho Station, where Diogo, which is that belter that we kind of met before with Miller, and these with the prisoners and Johnson. But whoo-wee, Holden is pissed.
Holden is so mad. And
that was a nice 0-60. He's like, nah.
You know, I feel like it's been a while since we've seen that shade on him.
Yes.
Like, for real. So
he's normally more mellow.
He's much more mellow. He's kind of like... almost a little bit internal sometimes, so I like seeing him just kind of like burst out, because obviously he didn't see it the way that Miller saw it. So I mean, that's very, very evident, and I feel like it's such a good contrast to, like, it's just so, they're so opposite, Miller and Holden, so I like seeing that burst of kind of like energy from him.
Well, it's like Holden, if he bursts out like that, it means he's always passionate about something he kind of latches onto, but this, it shows. When he bursts out, that means it's something serious. Otherwise, he's normally a little more level-headed, which is good for a captain of a ship.
100%.
And then we jump over to Amos and Miller at the bar, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we don't want you around." But then,
great way to start a conversation.
Oh, right? Here's your shit. Go away. Don't come back. Yeah.
Peace.
Yeah, peace. and then Miller, we kind of talked about this last time, but Miller's defense of killing Dredson, of it was a guy who needed to go down. Like, he has no remorse. Like, this is what had to be done.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's, I guess I see that point. However, once we get to the end of the episode, it does make sense to me, because it's like one of those things where you might have a situation that seems very, very, like, intense, and what other way do you have to solve it or to resolve it than to completely eradicate and eliminate it?
Yeah.
So it's very, you know, kind of ultimate, and it's very, like, finishing, but I think, you know, I understand where he's coming from, but I also understand, like, Holden getting very, very mad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Obviously. And then Amos kind of leaves him with, you keep picking fights with the wrong people. Though Amos kind of does too, so, but they recognize, he's like, you know, we're kind of similar.
I think one of the few differences between them, one of the few, is simply size, because they have that kind of, you know, gritty, like, I wouldn't say, like, macho, but definitely that kind of, like, animal energy about, like, yeah, picking fights with people. Primal, there we go.
Yeah.
That's totally the right word.
Yeah, and then speaking of primal, we jump over to Naomi and Holden with their sexy kiss. And they're like, hey, what's going? Let's have room service. But then they get into an argument. He's like,
just like any other couple.
Yeah.
Just a space couple.
Like, yeah, so you agree? And she's like, well, Belters, he killed us. And I'm on her side of, like, I totally get where she's coming from of, but Holden, you don't really get it.
Yeah, I don't think he does. And this is where his background plays in maybe a little bit against him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think someone like Nagata definitely understands it a little bit better.
Yeah, chat room, Laud says, Miller went full Punisher, which if you guys haven't seen the Punisher movie.
Totally. That's exactly
like, it. Oh, yeah.
By the way, I love his do. If anyone else has good feelings about that, I love it. I think he looks spectacular.
Well, I mean, not to poke fun at it, but with his kind of widow's peak thing going on, the mohawk accentuates more.
Yes.
So I think it looks really cool.
We have a little bit of, like, a receding hairline going on, so definitely it helps out. It makes him look super badass. Almost makes him look like a fish that has, like, a really intense fin. Something.
It's a shark fin.
Yeah, like, kind of in the back.
You know what it is? Before, he was kind of emo with it falling over his face, and now he's in battle mode.
Now he's full punk.
Yeah.
Like, if
he's
you
like,
guys...
I mean business. I want to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Pamela in the chat points out, which that was a good funny part, didn't you just love how Miller moved the bottle out of range when he was at the bar with Amos? Like, no, my alcohol.
Yeah, sorry. You gotta be protective, you know?
But then Diogo takes some of it anyways, but...
Well, Diogo's a kid.
Yeah.
We'll give him a pass.
And then he has another Belter with him, which I didn't quite catch his name, but I liked how they were saying, they're like, no, you're a hero, and one, you should stay with us because you have nowhere else to stay.
That's always a good point to make. I mean,
you know.
Although what happens afterward, I mean, that's how we kind of catch on to this whole, the weird, the noises, the sounds and everything, which is funny. It's like horrendous EDM, but to Miller, it was kind of like, wait a minute, first off, turn it off, but like,
then when he learned what it is,
and it's like straight from Eros. That was kind of like an interesting to like a Diogo, that might not mean anything, but obviously it has much more significance in this episode.
Well, for anybody who was there, they'd be like, no, they're dead. And the show does a good job of covering that, like, death and destruction. But in the book, it's even more creepy. They're like kind of like goo zombies. And it's so disgusting and creepy because they're like, you can't get touched by it. You'll be infected too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it essentially is like their own version of zombies. And they know that they're all dead. Because it was, I think they, in the book, they kind of eradicate the people faster than they did in the show. Which I still liked how the show did it too. But it was, it happened a little differently. And, and I can't recall, but it was interesting that the show does it where later on other people learn about the sounds from Tycho. I thought it was just Miller, but I might have remembered it wrong. My reading comprehension skills on that. I'm like, I can't recall.
And so far in the show, it's...
Oh, it's so creepy when that first happens, because they're saying it's Which they kind of got to it later with the scientists, but it was words. It is specific words, but it's more words and phrases mm-hmm. that don't really make sense.
But I think that's what Cortazar actually catches
yes.
when he's listening to it, and him is weird, like, you know, obsessive. it's almost like it's weirdly sexual, which I think in that sense Amos making it kind of little parallel to pedophilia makes perfect sense. But like it's this weird sexual kind of, you know, perception of the words. It's kind of disturbing. I don't know what anybody else thought, but I thought it was pretty, like, disturbing. Because you're talking about death, destruction, blue goo, brown goo, stuff coming out of people. Yeah. Like, it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah. In the chat, Laud says, yeah, they shoot their way out of Eros in the book. Yeah. Just Holden and Miller, and they get out a different way.
Okay.
It's one of those, like, that's something that's amazing about this show is how well they worked with the authors and kind of combine it. It's nice because it's almost like you get an extra story. Yeah. So I was going to say, you should go read it after when I'm done and be like, oh, okay, cool.
By season three, I'll be like all caught up. Because like, I told you at the beginning, I'm weirdly jealous that like you have all this information.
I don't. Well, some of it's the same, some different, obviously. Mm-hmm. So back to the show. We have Alex and Naomi. And we kind of mentioned how they're with the technician who, she's not the technician, but I caught her. She was before, but do you recall her name? I don't think I forget, but we like her. She's very cool.
She has the tattoo here as well. A different.
She's kind working of with Fred Johnson. So.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
Yeah,
but
now this was something brought up last week. One of you asked kind of about Alex's character. Didn't he have a girlfriend? And like, wait a minute, what about his previous relationship? Well, I like that the show brought it up. They go, hey, didn't you reach out to Mars?
Yeah, turns out they think he's dead, which is horrible.
Is it? It's one of those. It's good and bad,
I guess. I mean, it almost seems self-sacrificial, kind of, to mm-hmm. you know, for I guess the purpose of furthering something else. You leave that message, like you leave that as like an established fact, I guess.
Well, he's kind of can't really go back to it so well, so it's kind of like you may as well stay gone. And he died a hero. Oh, in a way. and how the ship got, how hard it was hit, and that she was like, wow, no, I'm impressed that, like, your ship took some damage, but it's still, in you know, functioning.
The Rossi will rise. Mm-hmm. Again.
someone in the chat, thank you guys. So yeah, if you guys are watching this live, thank you so much for your help. Someone said Sam Drummer. Yeah, I don't forget, I kind of didn't catch your name, but I do like that character. Then we have Johnson, Holden, and Amos, and they're talking to the prisoners, or they're watching the prisoner, and then they kind of have that violence. And Amos is like, yeah, this is going to be an interesting conversation. But it's kind of like Amos recognizes that, like, primal, like, basic functions in that prisoner, that he's like, I see myself in that.
One little bit. Yeah, totally. Because then who's the first person who really... Well, I mean, other than... Because Holden tried, but, I mean, they didn't really go about it the right way.
The first person that gets through.
And it's funny because, obviously, he approaches him with a different kind of method. Mm-hmm. He's like... He's trying to really get him to empathize with the situation. However, it's like totally turns the tables. And he's mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, we can't... You know, and it's almost like something basic. It's like you have mm-hmm. to approach, like... Like an animal with the same kind of energy, if it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's everything's very primal when it comes to Amos and also Cortazar,
mm-hmm.
given, you know, what we learned, mm-hmm. which I thought was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was going to say, we'll jump down to him. We have, Cortazar, the interrogation, and he was a nanoinformatics and specialist. And yeah, Holden tries to talk to him, and he's like, no, I want to thank Dresden. But we learn later too of how he's been turned into a sociopath, apparently, which that was the thing I was going to tell you. So that's a little bit different in the book. Is in the book, all the scientists they picked were sociopaths.
Gotcha. So they didn't have to
choose them. They didn't make them.
Right. They didn't have to like
engineer.
But it's creepier
that they made them.
I totally think it's
like that.
I mean, because sociopaths exist, but if you have to create them, that's really disturbing again.
Well, it didn't seem more like they were like, oh, let's go find like murderer people. It was more just people who don't. They can look at data and not care about what it means.
Right.
And so I think it's an excellent job the show made. Like, people, like, let's make him like that. And I kind of wonder, I'm like, has this happened to Amos? Because he's a little bit... just a little bit. He cares about himself, Naomi and then kind of his crew.
Yeah, but that totally would negate his sociopathic tendency, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the fact that they, you know, fidgeted with that area of the brain and kind of like turned it off is horrible.
Oh,
which
creepy.
I feel like, you know, kind of woke up that other weird, you know, sexual thing that I was like, not.
Yeah, it's almost like a different kind of form of like a lobotomy.
Yeah, like just, it would be the kind of like a
they're just like a
that.
Robot. They're not. They don't feel.
Yeah.
We kind of mentioned Bobby earlier, but yeah, we have that thing of with the her with Bobby her co-fighter guy. I didn't catch his name either, but
Patrick?
They're like, yeah, nobody's questioning your patriotism, and how he points out to the other soldier, he's like, well, you bought your way into the Corps, which that was interesting. I was like, oh, I didn't know they could do it that way, too.
Yeah. But there's a lot of resentment in that, and which, obviously, they all kind of come together at the end, you know, and kind of put that aside, but it's funny how it's there is some resentment, there is some feels.
But by the end, they kind of were like, all right, our bad.
Yeah. It's just there's a bigger purpose. Doesn't matter.
Yes,
at some point,
exactly.
It doesn't matter. I feel like because they haven't been on, like, a... Maybe not, like, a specific path, but they need something to kind of entertain themselves with. And it's very easy to grab, you know, the Earther or the Belter or, you know, the Martian and be like, oh, you know, you this, you that. It's just easy.
Yeah. Pamela in chat made a good point of Amos is socially challenged, too, but not as bad as the prisoners. He's a little bit... Yeah, he's not a regular...
Yeah.
Social functioning person as much.
Yes.
Pamela in the chat also said Amos could be like a functioning, functional sociopath, like Sherlock. He's a little bit more, he's functioning, but he's, his social skills are not quite with everybody else. And then we have Alex and that nice kind of, it's kind of like a montage, but then they had their own moments with Alex in the ship doing his baddest simulations and like, I don't want anybody, still working on it till the very end, and he wants to save them all.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, Cass had talked about, like, last week, and we talked about just him having, you know, that moment with that prisoner, or, you know, that got killed in the pod. So just him being kind of obsessive is really interesting, because he's like, I am going to find a way to make this happen, and he probably can do it. It's just going to take him a little bit of time. But it just shows, like, you know, given that maybe he did leave... you know, the people that he had it in Mars and told them, or not told them, but they think that he's dead.
Yeah.
It's like, that's his new mission, per se.
Sure.
And maybe it kind of has an emotional something for him as well.
Yeah, no, totally. And then we have Naomi gets a little, blow off a little bit of steam playing the handball game, which was kind of fun to watch.
Super cool. Although, you know, the one thing I did notice is I think it's not, like, real. I think it's, in like post-production.
Hologram?
In the sense that it's like it was not done.
They didn't actually have a ball?
Yes. That's what I'm trying to say. I can't say it, but
I don't think I've never played handball, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think I noticed.
Did it look weird, or?
When some of the shots, like not from behind, but from the front, I feel like that's what I, you know, gathered, but I may be wrong.
We'll have to tweet at Dominic and be like, so
did you guys play, or were you guys just like swatting your hands back and forth? It's kind of interesting. I don't know how that would work.
I think I said Dominique. And then, we have Coft in the chat room. Was Amos abused or used as a prostitute? I might be wrong, but there was something that came up last season. That is true, that he had the thing in the kind of sex club. Well, not sex club, but like the club, and he talked about it.
Yeah, there was something, but we never really got
any
more information.
Of hinted at. But that's a good question of why he is the way he is. And he might be a bit more like, I need to focus. And so he doesn't let himself
feel
as much.
That wall always up, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then they go to the club, and I love that music at the club part. Not necessarily the part that Diogo and Miller listened to in the apartment, but the club music. I was like, this sounds so cool.
Yeah, and it was kind of nice to see her have, you know...
have fun and girl time.
Girl time. That's what I was going to say. I don't know if a friend or
girls
whatever.
Night.
But it was kind of necessary. Everybody was a little bit off on their own in that section of the episode, and I think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do need to blow off some steam. I mean, they've been through a lot.
They've been through a lot.
Yeah. I will say, though, she was wearing the same clothing that she was, like, working out in or playing handball in, and I was like, oh, man. It's going to be one stinky outfit later that would be if I was wearing it, so I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, you're not the only one who pointed that. On Twitter, someone tweeted at her and was like, did they wear the same outfit? And she pretty much replied, like, yeah, she doesn't care.
Yeah, well, exactly. But that's like, the whole thing. Like, who cares? She's not like.
But if you go to the club, you're going to get sweaty anyways, too.
Yeah, so you might as well just walk in sweaty. So
be
it's like
whatever. I'm
you know,
ready.
Set the bar high. Yeah. You know.
She's hot enough. I don't think anybody would mind. They'd be like, whatever.
No, I mean, yeah. It was funny because, like, for me, I'd be like, oh my god, ew. But yeah. It does really point to her character as well. She's I feel like whatever. It's very telling.
Yeah. And then we have Miller. Yeah, Diogo. We had he listens to music. But the thing, too, of how Diogo points out, it's their anthem for war.
Yeah.
And that's also when we finally get Miller kind of questioning from Diogo of, you know, why do you fight? And that's also when Miller says, we belters and us belters.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, he didn't really have as much of a purpose. And then he sees Julie in the mirror.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
That's
it's
a little
so
creepy.
It's creepy, yeah, but it's also so interesting to see how much she's really haunted him in so many different ways.
Oh, in the book, she's there all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
Even more. So I think it's cool. I like how the show's doing it. But pretty much, like, because we talked about this in season one, and Sean was pointing out how, like, you know, she was, like, his obsession and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the show didn't show her that often, but when you read it, it's like, no, she is there all the time. Like, he talks to her. He thinks about her constantly. Like, if he needs a moment, he's like, so, Julie, what should I do?
Oh, whoa.
Good point. Like, right. Like, he really, mm-hmm. I mean, not maybe out loud, but it feels like he's doing it all the time and is always, like, asking her for advice and, like, even, like, when he sees her, that first time he met her, like, when they find her in the hotel room thing,
right.
He goes, like, it's not how he pictured her and stuff like that, obviously, because she's all, like, messed up. But even he had, like, envisioned her differently in his head. Like, that's how, like, into her. But it's cool to get that elaborate, so I'm glad they're bringing her back in that, like, mere creepy. And the actress is like, I'm back.
She's like, I'm just going to stand here looking good.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to be talking at any point.
I hope so. I hope they have something.
That would be interesting. I like when they do that. It's kind of like the, you know, self-conscious, but mm-hmm. like out in the open.
I think that's where I'm kind of okay with him talking to her is a way to, instead of just talking to yourself, it's you thinking out your thoughts, but you kind of envision a, because I think he envisioned her as a more moral guiding compass than his own self.
Well, yes.
A little bit.
He needs just a little help. Just a tad.
Yes. Then we have, Bobby. Yeah, they're going to go to Ganymede Station, which is just kind of like this food supply thing, and there's going to be stuff that happens. I'm not going to say anything, I was like, something's going to happen. But you know, there has to be. They're like, we're going to go to Ganymede.
Oh, okay. It'll just be very, like, smooth sailing. Yes. No problem. No, that's not how this works.
there you go. Pamela in chat said Miller does talk out loud occasionally. So I'm like, yeah, I think he does. He did a little bit in the show, but I felt it was more in the book.
Yeah. I meant specifically to her, like, if they'll actually have, like, an interaction.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
That'd be fun and creepy a little bit.
Yeah. I love the creepy factor of the show.
Oh, it's so a lot good. Of it. But that's kind of the part about space. Like, space inherently is creepy because it's dangerous. Like, you're in a little box, essentially, and outside you'll die.
Yeah.
There's a hole in your box. You'll die.
And then there's the added effect of the protomolecule.
Yes.
Which obviously is not something...
kill you.
That we want.
And then we finally get a Vassarala calling Johnson, and she's like, you were right. Everything I said was kind of lies, and I need your help.
Yep.
And then his officer, the lady we were talking about, and points out, like, it's a big deal for him to help a Vassarala, and like, well, then they'll be, he's going to kill you. And he's like, well, then this will be a little secret then. I was like,
I like
this is serious.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
I like the little, it'll be a little secret. But also the fact that, you know, he gets, I guess, what a risk it is to kind of even contact him. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that in its own kind of gives him the okay to be like, yeah, we can trust her.
Yes. And then we have Amos. Oh, yeah. This is when he finally gets to talk to Cortazar, and he's like, hey, I was on Eros. I saw Julie Mao. And the guy's like, what? Tell me more. He's so excited. And he points out that, no, she's not really dead, quote unquote. She's becoming. And we're kind of like, WTF does that mean?
I don't
know. Do you have any thoughts?
That's just so scary to me. Because
I know what it means, but...
Well, okay, but that doesn't count, okay? You can't say. I mean, I don't have any...
I'll stop doing that. But what, do you have any thoughts right now? Because that was a really, like... Wait. What does that mean?
At this point, I guess I just feel afraid because I have no idea what it's going to become. I don't know if it's going to be like separate entities that have a different kind of molecular structure and then look differently and are more powerful. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be like one giant blob of energy. I don't know what to expect, to be honest. Right. I would be leaning a little bit more towards the blob versus separate entities. But, I mean, you don't know if this can think on its own. Like, those pulses that they talked about, what are they talking about? Building what? Like, there is a lot of red flags. That's why I think, you know, I'm on board with Miller's choice.
Well, your thought process is very similar to the other characters. Of they're like, what does this mean?
Well,
like,
exactly.
Are we need to do something.
Is it still people? Yeah. Is it what? I mean, if somebody tells me like, okay, she used to be, you know, Julie Mao, and then she's becoming, I'd be like, hold up, what?
Go back. Rewind.
Yeah, rewind. What do you mean? Because I mean, in this world, a lot can happen, and we've already seen small glimpses of the protomolecule. If you had to deaden, literally, someone's empathy so that they could work with this protomolecule, it's scary. It is scary, because then where is the rest of your society going to go? It's absolutely horrible. It's like very, you know, the whole fascist thing that someone mentioned on the chat makes a little bit of sense. It's a little scary.
The same for Mars, which I don't know if I'd call Mars fascist. They might be a little more communist.
So let me ask you, because this may be something that I have confusion with. So who? What is Dresden? What is he? Like, as in Belter, Earth, Mars?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't recall if they specified, and I don't recall from the book.
Okay, if anyone in the chat knows, let us know.
What is Dresden?
Because that's my whole... It literally reminds me of, in, like, World War II, horrible experiments done on people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what you guys brought up in the chat last week of Miller's justification for killing that scientist of, like, well, Holden going, well, wait, he'll get brought to justice. And people in the chat were like, there's plenty of scientists during World War II who nothing ended up happening to them. Yeah. So it's
Although Dresden clearly goes a different way.
Just a little bit. Okay, someone from the chat, Pamela, said, I don't think, this is referred to kind of last week, I don't think Johnson tossed that guy out the airlock because of his attempt on Earth, the politician, but to show strength and take control. Yes, which we all agreed.
Yeah, we all agreed on that last week that was, I mean, at least I remember mentioning it. That's what I thought it was.
Oh, yeah, he had to assert his dominance.
One for plenty, you know.
And then we have Miller, which we get to see his new haircut, which we talked about that, the shave, the mohawk going on. And he goes to the Mormon church and kind of asks a little bit more about the Nauvoo. And, man, that was the most, like, so tell me about it. I'm like, oh, I don't trust him at all. Were you suspicious of him?
I mean, a little bit, because...
Or do you think he was really seeking out spiritual guidance?
Wait, you mean suspicious of Miller or the other man?
Miller. Not the Mormons. No, they have their...
No. Yes, I mean, it was a little weird. I felt on the, I guess, religious leader. It was Mormon. I did not catch that. But, I mean, on the religious, like, leader end, I was like, okay, this is a little strange. But Miller, I don't think Miller does anything without, like, a... I mean, it's not that it's a calculated purpose, but I don't think that he would just go in and be like, look, dude, I need guidance. It just doesn't seem like him. It's more like, look, dude, I need information, and somehow you're going to give it to me. You know what I mean? That's more of the vibe that I get from Miller, no matter what he does.
Yeah. And then... Oh, Koft in the chat says, I see Mars and Earth like Athens and Sparta, with Mars being Sparta for sure.
That 100%. Yes. 100%.
And then 100% agree, too, with Corey in the chat. The women of the Expanse definitely kick ass. Absolutely 100%.
Oh, yeah. We love them.
Yes, all of them.
Oh, they're so cool.
Then let's get back to, because we're almost the last info. We have Cortazar and then Holden, and then he explains... Amos is like, you need to talk to him a different way. But it's like anybody of like, get them talking about something they care about and they won't stop. It's when you tell them they can't have it that they're going to shut down.
Well, yeah. And I feel like when you talk to, let's say if you were to talk to, again, it's the same thing that Amos pointed out. Like, you might talk to them about the thing. Like, let's say it's pedophilia. Like, you know, talk to them about kids and they might be like, shut down. But maybe a picture or something, it'll just kind of, it's like an automatic thing in the brain. So it's the same thing with this guy. You just got to know which lever to pull, literally. Yep. And I think Holden, out of, you know, anger and all this other stuff, wanted to hurt Cortazar more than anything else. So then the rest of it kind of got blurred out.
Yeah.
Whereas Amos, you know, not having been there and not having, witnessed any of the stuff that they literally did.
Julie's body, that's it.
Right, yeah. But not all the other people on Eros and not Dresden being killed. Mm-hmm. I feel like he definitely had a more clear head going in. Which is interesting because I would have, not necessarily gotten that vibe from him, but it's nice to see him, in that role.
Well, then they show the feed to
Cortisol.
Well, when I heard it, I'm like, what name? Then they show the data and everything like that, and then he talks to it, and then they listen to it, and that's when he's kind of like, no, it's kind of alive, evolving, and it's doing something. It's like, dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Well, okay.
Yes.
I just have to say, this literally, it fascinates me. I almost want to see more of this Cortisar guy, just because he is like a mad scientist, and that's all we have left of the project with the protomolecules. So I'm like, or at least that we know of. So I really kind of like want to see more of him. I need to know more about this protomolecule. It's not enough, guys.
I think you're going to find out more. Maybe.
Okay, good. If Carrie says so, I trust it.
There'll be more, trust me. Then we have Holden and Naomi get there a little bit, and they're like, are we good? And it's like, aw. And they're like, no, we got to do something, and we're going to do it together. Yeah. Yay! Totally shipping them, wanting them to be together.
Well, I mean, I feel like they're already kind of shipped.
They're together. I don't want anything to happen. I know. It is kind of funny to say ship when it's a space in a show, and you're like, but they're in a ship. Anyway.
Yeah.
I had to learn what that word was. I'm like, what? Shipping?
What's shipping? Yeah.
So I was like, if you guys don't know, it's when you're rooting for these characters to be in a relationship.
Yeah. Or like, you think they're going to get together. Yes. It's like relationship.
Do we have a name for them? Holden, Naomi.
Or Nagata and Holden.
Nolden? It's when they put the names together, too.
Nagadan. Nagata, Holden, Nagadan. If someone could come up with a better, combination, please tell us.
Yes. that's true. Lot in the chat points out there is the hidden sample that that the crew had that they hid somewhere.
Yes.
Right. So there's another protomolecule stuff out there. And then the other last little bit is Miller goes, I want to go to Eros, to Fred Johnson, and he's like, what? And that's where it's kind of our cliffhanger ending. And let's do some predictions, unless do you have any other things?
No. Let me just just kind of, not bookend here, but just confirm that, I mean, at least from the vibe that we're getting from Miller, is that they're going to try and send Eros into destroy it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I just want to.
That was the part.
I just want to know if that was like.
That's a preview for next time. So, guys, it's not a spoiler unless you guys all turn off your TVs.
No. But I think he says it at the end. He's like, we can send Eros with that thing or whatever. How do we destroy an asteroid? And he's just like, with that thing.
That was on the preview for next time.
No, that was the last little bit.
How do we destroy it?
Yeah, that was the last little bit. So, but either way, on the preview, of course, I guess, unless you guys totally shut it off. Yes. So,
which, not really spoilers, guys, because it'll be next week.
Right, of course.
But yes, that's an interesting theory. Because, it's a large asteroid, so how do you move it?
Yeah.
Well, you could have a big spaceship push it into the sun.
Yeah.
Because you almost need to guide it, too.
Yeah, 100%. You have to find a way to get it there.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested.
Did that answer the...
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that I was like, that I totally understood that the right way. And I wasn't like, what is the asteroid? No, yes, that, okay.
No, good. No, Eros is technically an asteroid.
Right.
It's
an asteroid belt, right?
It's a station, so it's more like giant rock.
When they say the belt, it's an asteroid belt. That's why they're called belters.
Yes, but Eros itself is one rock.
No. I know that. I'm just saying that's why they're called belters. Belters. They're,
it's a bunch of asteroids, and they have, different stations.
Yeah, no, Eros is one, yes.
I think it...
Because there's, Ceres as well,
Think of it like an island chain. Mm-hmm. A bunch of small ones. Laud in the chat says the Mormons will be pissed. Yeah. We're going to take your ship.
Oh my gosh. Okay, now I remember the Mormons thing, just because I couldn't, for the life of me remember. Of course. That's why I was like, I didn't see that connection. Yeah. See what I mean? You might tell me. Yeah. You might give me a spoiler and I won't make that connection.
It's all right. This show is very dense and there's a lot going on. So then it goes, anyway, so let's get some predictions if you have any.
Okay.
So we have predictions. There we go.
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
I'm the only one who can give a prediction.
It's okay. And, you guys, you can leave your predictions below as well, but if you've read the book,
don't.
Please, no spoilers. Don't do it. Because that's why I'm not saying any.
She's being really good. Trust me.
I'm trying to keep the poker face. I'm like,
So I don't think the asteroid destruction is going to go well, like, at all. I think it's going to get close to, because I feel like, given the previews, that's what we're going to get, but I really don't think it's going to go well, or something is not going to get destroyed fully, something like that. Something's going to go terribly wrong. I would like to not see Miller injured. I'm surprised that Miller's kind of, like, spearheading this operation, given his, you know.
Right.
But, hey, and then I feel like we're going to be seeing a little bit more of the protomolecule, you know, in the very near, not as part of Eros, but, like, other than in Eros, you know what I mean?
Okay.
In the near future. And then I also think that this Cortazar guy will be seen again. And I feel like Holden might actually have words with him. Words, fists, whatever.
That's with true. Him. He hasn't talked to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has, but very, like, briefly. You know, he tried to get the information out of him. The Cortazar is the scientist guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Miller talked to him.
Oh, did I say? I meant Holden.
Yeah.
Holden or, will talk to him again. Or Miller. That's a great point.
Could be an interesting conversation.
That would be very interesting conversation. Yeah. I don't know if he would be as angry as Holden, just you know, just because Holden was very angry and Miller, like, got it. But I do think that either one of those guys are going to have, like, some sort of physical or verbal something with this Cortazar guy. Because there's only so much that you can just take and understand that this person, you know, contributed to all of this and all these people, you know. And, I mean, I would like to know what everything's becoming, but I don't think they even know.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think they know yet.
I think the Expanse will end on just everything is going to be a huge protomolecule. And that's it.
Be like, and the end.
And at the end, and everything was like blue stuff everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Floating around the galaxy.
Yeah.
No. Well, based on your prediction, I'm curious if they will answer those questions in the next episode, because the things you brought up are answered soon, if it's a similar timeline.
Right.
Because Cortazar isn't a character in the book, so I'd like to... He was a good use in the show to explain these things.
Yeah. It would be nice to see him, you know, continue.
Yeah. No,
to see what happens there.
Because they could get more information out of him.
Yeah.
And you have this person who will talk to you as long as you...
Yeah. If you just feed him a little bit, like the data, anything, what he was asking for, just give him little, you know, protein pellets. Mm-hmm. I watch the OA and they have protein pellets. Like, just give him little protein pellets. We'll be good.
Here you go. Yeah, I think that's about it. Thank you so much for watching, guys. Did you have anything else?
No, that's it. I'm thoroughly enjoying this season. Awesome. It really started, like, action-packed. Mm-hmm. The third episode, was really great. I feel like it kind of made everything settle in for me a little bit more, so I'm very happy about that. And Miller, shaved do. Gotta love it.
We need to tweet at him and be like, hey, dig the hair.
Hey, T-Jane. Looks good. Yeah, he can totally rock it. I'm very happy.
I think the Mohawk looks really cool on him.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for watching. Make sure to give the video a thumbs up, 5 stars on iTunes. Leave comments down below what you thought of the episode. Where can they find you online?
At Maria Cavasudo on Twitter and Instagram. And that's pretty much it.
Cool. And guys, you can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. Make sure to rate, subscribe, like, and reach out to us on Twitter if you want to keep the discussion going, because, this show has so much to talk about. And, maybe later private DMs if we're like, if you've read the book.
If you've read the book, please feel free to contact Carrie.
You're like, don't say
so
anything.
You guys can like.
No spoilers. Again, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.